Thank you for singing well today, and we thank the Lord for His good word and different ways He talks to us throughout the service and the week. And when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, remember, He's the world's greatest preacher. We can learn from Him because He's God's Son. And so it's always good to look at that message in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do with all your good news? How can I change and be different? And this passage here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And if somebody said, hey, that person's over there, they're a real peacemaker. In today's world, that might not be looked at as something to be admired or something that's very positive. Because in our world, fallen as it is, we really value conflict. Because that's what we're used to. And if we think about who God is the great peacemaker. Jesus is called in the Bible the Prince of Peace. He's called the God of Peace in a number of different settings. And if the Bible tells us anything that's true about God, it's this, that God makes peace very well. And that's not just the absence of conflict when you think of what peace is, you know, but it has to do with His well-being coming down on people, His sense of wellness from His character. And so He'd like to give us that and teach us how to be that way. Jesus said, if you're a peacemaker, you'll be called the sons of God. Other people in Scripture were called by different names. Barnabas, for example, was known as a son of encouragement. So that's a title that you can ask God to build into your life. James and John were known as sons of thunder. They had booming, outgoing personalities. And Jesus said, you'll be a peacemaker, you'll be known as a child of mine. So if you're at peace with God, going to heaven, you're going to have that quality of a peacemaker in your life, God's way. If you don't have peace with God, you feel like there's something between you and the Lord, and you sense, well, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going away from God. Boy, that's a scary reality. Christ can be your peace this morning. And I say from the beginning, whatever you hear in the sermon, to make sure you know that Christ is your peace. He says in the Bible that He's our peace. And we can't have any peace with anybody else without Him. I know if I'm not trusting Christ in any one given moment, and particularly before I received Him into my heart, I was at war with everybody. Bring them on. That was my attitude. And even as a person living in a fallen world and having a relatively easygoing personality, being a middle child, I had an older brother and younger brother, so I had to always make sure they weren't fighting. I wasn't fighting with them. So I have a peacemaking mentality. I still find myself on a daily basis, in conflict with another person, either in the house, in the neighborhood, on the road, or whatever. Conflict with another person, conflict with myself, or in conflict with God. Okay, so it's hard to have peace in a rocky world. That's the kind of world we live in. And so the first experience I'd like us to take for ourselves and realize is this, that conflict is fairly normal in a fallen world. A lot of waves are going to happen around us. It's not going to be a calm Sea of Galilee. The sea's not calm. That's why Jesus has to say, peace be still. Okay? It's a rough world. A lot of turmoil on the outside, turmoil on the inside. Job said, we're born to trouble, and sparks fly upward. Whew. You know, so thankful for little ones in the world. But yet the difficulties that people face are really overwhelming. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have conflict. So take heart, I have overcome the world. So we should know from the right off the bat that the conflict we feel around us, and the call to be a peacemaker, the conflict is very normal. It is to be expected. And we are to meet God in the midst of those conflicts. Did you know, for example, that God will create conflict in our hearts so that we might know Him better? In Galatians chapter 5, it says, the Holy Spirit is against or is in conflict with our old way of doing things, our old nature. So the Holy Spirit, even though He's a gentle dove, will create tension in our hearts, conflict, so that we might know the peace of Christ. And if we're bothered by something, we are bothered for a reason. God has a plan to bother us so that we might experience His peace. To avoid peace at all costs is not what Jesus meant by being a peacemaker. It was a sign in the Old Testament of a false prophet or a clergy person who was out of bounds who would say this. The Lord said in Jeremiah 16, "They dress the wounds of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." So God wants to deal with the conflict that He knows is there in this world. He knows it's there in our hearts unless we turn to Him. So know that you'll have conflict from the time you're born to the time you go to be with Christ through grace. Don't expect anything otherwise. I'm here to bring you good news. I hope that encourages you a little bit, at least to know what we face. Conflict will be there. And the second thing to experience in conflict, which the Holy Spirit lets us know, again, He deals with us in our sinful nature, is that when we find ourselves in conflict in any setting, it is a great opportunity to change, to grow, and to repent our own selves. I and you go through conflicts so that we might change and we might turn to Christ more fully. And Jesus acted as a peacemaker in this manner a number of times. And I'll mention just two of them. One time a man came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now back then, as in nowadays, sometimes parents leave things to children. And in this case, the one brother apparently felt like he didn't get the things coming to him. Maybe the inheritance wasn't divided yet. Maybe it was divided unequally. Maybe his brother took it all and he got nothing. So he feels wronged. He's being ripped off, or whatever you might say. And he comes to Jesus and he said, "Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And I would expect Jesus to say, "Okay, I'll make sure it's 50-50. You know, I'll go straighten out your brother and then everything will be okay with you." Is that right? He doesn't say that. Jesus says, "Man, who made me an arbiter between you and your brother?" And then what Jesus does, he says, he starts to preach to the man concerning his own heart. He said, Jesus tells the man, "Beware of coveting, for a person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Wow. So the man went expecting Jesus to straighten out his brother, and Jesus straightens him out. And that often happens. When we find ourselves in conflict, we think, if the Lord would just straighten that other person, I would be so happy. The Lord ends up straightening out us. And then hopefully we're happy at that point. But first we experience pain. Another instance that happened, the disciples were there, and James and John, being sons of thunder and loud, they said, "Lord, we..." And their mom said the same thing. "We want to be at the right and left hand of you, Jesus, in heaven." And the other ten disciples were mad about this. Why should they feel that way? And so what does Jesus do? He teaches them all about being a servant. He said, "Well, here's a big conflict, but if you want to be great, you got to serve. You got to serve." And so, again, when you find yourself in conflict, say, "Lord, it's an opportunity for me to grow, for me to change, for me to be different." I remember working with a Christian counselor years ago who would work on a college campus, and he said that there would always be roommate conflicts in college. You know, you go to college, you're from Western Pennsylvania, and you have a roommate from Southern California, and they eat different and dress different and speak different, and you have all these conflicts. And within the first month, everybody wants to change their roommates. And the Christian counselor would get these young ones coming in, and he'd say, "Okay, what can you do to be different? And don't tell me about your roommate, how they snore. What can you do to be different. And then they would begin to change, and the roommate situation works out. So when conflict comes, say, Lord, it's a great chance to repent. Don't we all want to change and grow and repent? We had a missionary, a guest speaker for the pastors this past Tuesday. He said what he's learned overseas and what he has learned in church groups in America, for believers to understand, he said this, change or die. Change or die. That's, wow, I think I'll change. In terms of being spiritually not close to God, that part. And so the conflict, Jesus comes as a peacemaker, sets us at peace with Him. And we should want that. And ask God to make that happen in your life. The second thing, which is very similar to know, when you go through a conflict, check to see if your real conflict is with the Lord and not just with the people around you. Am I really fighting others, or am I fighting against God? Is He my, is how I trust Him my bigger problem in the whole picture of things? I remember experiencing this on real clearly 4 years ago when my family and I went on vacation to the Gulf Coast of Florida. We went in October of all times, and we had to get the kids out of school and said, we need a vacation, we're going to Florida. So off we go. And I particularly was motivated to do that because I had was getting too busy with work and things, and felt rushed, was finding, just things not going to what I wanted to. So I went to Florida thinking, if I go to Florida, it'll solve all my problems. We have many do that in the wintertime, just to get the warm weather, we understand. But so off we go to Florida, and it was a wonderful atmosphere, warm weather. We went on the beach one particular evening, beautiful sunset, because calm as could be, water there, picture perfect. My children are building a sandcastle and enjoying my wife in the sunset. And the beach is real empty and real big, except there's two people coming down the beach, which is as wide as this room here. And of all the places to walk, they decide to walk right toward us. And I think they were honeymooners because they were kind of looking at each other and had this, out of touch look at what they were doing. And they came and stepped toward my son's sandcastle. Almost stepped on that. Almost stepped on him. And on my attempt to find peace in my life, my blood pressure goes up 20 points. I yell at them, "Watch it!" I don't know if how you go on your honeymoon to get yelled at by the angry preacher. But I'm thinking, now where did that come from? Here I am, one of the most beautiful places, in the United States, and I'm supposed to be calming down, and there is no calmness in my soul. Because for that group of time or that season, I was really not spending a lot of time talking to God on a regular basis. See, growing in my trust of Him, I kind of put His word aside. Oh, I know that. I'll hurry up and do my work. There was no calmness in my soul. See, my problem was not with the honeymooners. My problem was inside with the Lord. And you could check to see if the conflicts in your life are there really. We have a problem with the Lord, not necessarily with others. Billy Graham talks about helping couples in the home and husbands and wives in regards to this. He said one man came to him just totally in desperation, and his particular need was he didn't think he and his wife could make it. He said, "I'm going to leave my wife. I just can't stand it anymore." So Billy Graham said, "Do you go to church and worship God together?" "No, not really." "And sometimes do you pray for your wife, or do you pray with her when things go wrong?" "No, not really." And Billy Graham said, and he's trying to be helpful to the person. He says, "Mr. B, your problem's not with your wife. Your problem's with the Lord, and how God, wants to deal with us right at the very bottom line of where we are." And I've found that if I trust Christ and know it, I'm at peace with Him, to stay in relationship with Him. That doesn't mean I never have conflicts with people. I certainly do. But it means I'm able to see Him as the way, see Him as the peace in the midst of that trouble. And He works as a great worker of peace in there. To be a peacemaker, and we'll be called sons of God. Another experience we have in terms of resolving conflict Jesus points us to in the Matthew passage is to always deal with personal conflict one-to-one with the person we have the conflict with. And try that in the home or at work or wherever you're at, and you'll see how different life can be. When in the home, for example, if to have kids, Billy's fighting with Johnny, Billy shouldn't run to mom and dad right away and say, Johnny did A, B, C, D. Now mom and dad, they're dealing with everything. Sure, we intervene at that point. But really, Billy goes and Johnny, and they work it out together first. Because the next thing you know, one spouse has a problem with the other spouse, and then they go to the kids. You should see what your mom did, or you should see what your dad did. And whoa, then what occurs? So you go to the person you feel that has sinned against you, said Jesus. Go to that person. Just you and them. And talk through that. And watch to see what God does. I saw this modeled real well years ago, the first church I was in, where in a Sunday school class, the teacher was teaching and doing a good job, and one of the leaders in the church had a real disagreement with them right during the class. And it got beyond a matter of, you know, I wonder what the Bible says and wonder what we should do kind of thing. It became very personal right in front of the whole class. And so the class ended and everybody went to worship kind of on eggshells. But later that day, before the teacher was able to even eat lunch, there's a knock on his door, and the person who had a disagreement with him was there with a big bag of popcorn. And he said, can I come in? Yes. And they went in and they talked. One man said, you know, boy, I feel like I offended you. And the other one said, well, if I felt that was a sin against me, I apologize you. Thanks for talking to me about that. And you know what? Their relationship became very strong after that. Because sometimes a broken bone, even though it seems very fragile and difficult, once that heals up, boy, it can be a blessing. And I know there's relationships you've had in the past, maybe in your family or extended family, you feel like, man, that's broken. I wonder if that'll ever heal. And you know what? God can bring healing there. If you go with a hard attitude of just having an open door toward the person, and you just be soft-hearted toward them and have an open heart. Jesus said it even affects worship. If you, you're worshiping God and you feel like you've offended somebody, try to get that worked out. It says leave your gifts at the altar. And I was going to say, that's probably a reason why some hesitate to give gifts in the offering, you know. Because I don't know if I can give any gifts here. I'm still arguing with my brother. Sometimes that's a factor, believe it or not, in our worship of the Lord in all manners. So to resolve conflict Jesus' way, one-to-one, go to them. And know God will work in that situation. And I think if we do so as His people, with an eye to ourselves, and as Jesus said, realizing we go to that person who we're at odds with a plank in our eye. It's a big 2x4 of wood about life that we cannot see well, and we're not as close to the Lord as we should be. We go to that person, they have a speck in their eye. It's really bugging us to no end. And we go, we want the Lord to take the plank out of our eye. That's a real disability, so that we could see and gently remove the speck in the other person's eye. Then how God does bring His grace and mercy into situations like that. Go with humility, go with confession, go with repentance, and go to pass on the good news of Christ. And I think that we end by Jesus' example. If God in heaven as good as He is and holy as He is, if He's willing to make peace with all of us, and here we are, we've offended Him who knows how many times. Time again. And He comes and offers us forgiveness through Christ. How what a great example for us. When Christ lives in us, that we can go and do the same thing to people around us. It'll change that practice, as difficult as it is, will change your relationship with Christ, make that closer and warmer, change your relationship with people around you, with people at work, literally change our world. Just think how short the newspaper would be. Instead of 50 pages worth of newspaper, that'd probably be about 2 pages worth of news. Because those 48 other pages would be worked out by a person going to another person and working out the problem that is really there. And God would bring blessing. He's a wonderful Savior. And He'll do that in the story of your life and my life. Might we pray and ask Him to do that and be that way among us.